Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Welcome to Life Coach Radio Network. I'm your host, Martin Salama, your divorce recovery coach, and I'm so excited about tonight's episode of my show. I'm very happy to have with me a fantastic person who's meant a lot to me in my life, and she's helped me out unbelievably. And, of course, tonight's episode is called Five Secrets to Write a Book in a Weekend. And I'm very excited to have with me Donna Kozik. Donna, welcome.
Thank you, Martin. It's my pleasure to be here.
Great. I'm so excited to do this. So, you know, before we go forward, I'm just going to talk for a couple of minutes, let everybody know what we're going to be talking about tonight, and just fill them in a little bit. So everybody knows being a published author is a universal symbol of expertise and credibility. Having a book also serves as a big business card if you're looking to attract clients. But how do you get started? More importantly, how do you get finished? All right, so during this conversation I'm going to have with Donna, who's responsible for hundreds of new authors appearing on Amazon every year. Before I go forward, I just want to tell everybody a little bit about Donna. Donna Kozik is known as the book writing and publishing expert, and for the past several months has led a number of people in writing, actually the past several years, has led a number of people in writing a book in a weekend. In fact, she set a personal goal of helping 1,000 people become published authors in the next year. But before all that, she grew up on a 200-acre dairy farm in rural northwestern Pennsylvania and moved to San Diego in 2001. A move that inspired her first book, 29 Days to a Smooth Move. She's a two-time award-winning author, and that book led her to be featured in Women's Day and Women's World magazines, the LA Times and the Baltimore Sun. She's also appeared on the NBC Nightly News and has been heard on NPR's Marketplace. Plus, she was hired by Sprint PCS to be a paid national media spokesperson, all thanks to her books. So welcome, Donna. I'm so excited to have you with us.
You are one of my favorite authors, Martin, and I'm really, really excited to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be considered a published author today, so I owe you such a debt of thanks for that. So, you know, let's just get into it. But before we could do that, you know, we said that the title is Five Secrets to Write a Book in a Weekend. But, you know, can you just expand for a few minutes a little bit about how you got to where you are and what you're doing here?
Sure. How did I get to be in this position where, you know, I just didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to show people how to write a book in a weekend. I won't go way back, but just a little ways back, when I was seven years old, I wrote my first book. It's called An Autobiography of Donna Kozik by Donna Kozik, and I put it together on notebook paper and it had this staple binding to it, and I overheard my mother telling my grandmother all about it, and she was like, yeah, and she wrote this book and there's illustrations in it and she even has a binding on it, and I knew right then that I wanted to be a writer. And so I followed the path of writing and communications. I was a newspaper editor. I worked for an insurance company, and I was a speechwriter there and also published magazines in Pennsylvania. And then I just picked up everything, and I moved to San Diego in 2001. And when I got here, that did inspire my first book, 29 Days to a Smooth Move. And what will happen is that once you write a book, people will say, oh, that's so cool. I want to write a book. How'd you do it? So I had a lot of people asking me how I did it, and then I picked up. I would work with a few friends here and there, and actually a friend who became one of my first clients, he said I was helping him edit his book, and his name is Peter Wallen, and he said, Donna, I'm going to use this book as my big business card. And I thought, ding, ding, ding. I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. I could show people how to write a book to use as a big business card, just a fabulous marketing tool for themselves. And so I set up an online shop to do that. And then over a period of a couple years, I was looking for my signature system, which I'm sure a lot of your audience are familiar with, and
mm-hmm.
that's when another coach of mine suggested that I start a group on Facebook. I call it the Write a Book in a Weekend Club, and he was kind of saying it tongue-in-cheek, but I took it literally, and so I just set up this club on Facebook called Write a Book in a Weekend, and it wasn't long before somebody asked me, they said, I'm looking to write my book this weekend. What do I do? And I thought, what would I have him do to actually get a book done in a weekend? And it was just a question that my mind could not let go. And I thought of like all the, I thought of the way that I could actually have them get a book done in a weekend. And that was about 6 years ago, and here I am, 38 Write a Book in a Weekend later.
Wow. I was just about to ask you, how many have you done? You just this past weekend had one, right?
Yes. That was my 38th
Great.
One. Yep.
38. That's fantastic. Good for you. You know, writing a book is such a hot topic these days. You know, but why do you think it is such a hot topic?
Well, I think that for one reason, when we just respect authors. I mean, we see, you know, somebody's written a book and it just up-levels, you know, their status in our eyes and we're impressed by it. And now I love the age that we're living in where it is not only where it's easier to get a book published. It's not just for the select few like academics or rich people who can have books, but it's open to everybody. And I think that people are taking advantage of that so they can have that universal symbol of authority. And
right.
Also just accomplish something, Martin, that's a lifelong dream for so many people to get a book done. So I just think this is a wonderful age, and that I'm seeing so many more people go for it and actually do it.
Yeah. You know, I know for myself, you know, about a year or so ago, it was a little more than a year ago, someone said to me, I don't know where they go, you should write a book. And I was like, there's a lot of things I really don't want to talk about in my life. But then about a week or so later, I got an email that talked about somebody that was hosting you on how to write a book in a weekend in a teleseminar. And I said, you know, things don't happen by accident. You know, it's like the law of attraction. And I said, let me go listen to what you had to say. And I was really, you know, motivated by what you had to say that I joined your Write a Book in a Weekend. And it took me a little bit longer than a weekend, but I'm, you know, very proud to say that I am a published author. And I think in today's society, what you said is very true. You know, it's not like the old days. If you wrote a book, you had to send it to countless, book houses, hoping that they were going to like it and that they weren't going to rip it to shreds and tell you how you can make it so much better. And now these days, you know, somebody told me one time, I can't believe you wrote a book. I said, any dummy can write a book these days. You know? So, because they can publish it themselves.
Yeah.
They can, and with the way technology is, you could literally publish one copy of your book if you wanted and then never publish another one and still be considered a published author.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
it's grand. I mean, technology is so grand what's happened, and you can take these books and go down to Barnes & Noble and, you know, hold them up to any other book on the bookshelf, and they're the same high quality, and, you know, it's a real book that you can do. In fact, the way it used to be with those traditional publishers, some authors now are even leaving the traditional publishers behind, saying, you know what, I can do this on my own and keep all the money for myself. I don't really need you. So we're really seeing a swing in the way that publishing is working in this century, and I love it. I love it.
Yeah, power to the people. It gives people so they can put their own life and their own desires in their own hands and move forward with it. It's one less obstacle that they can say, oh, I can't do it because of this. It's one less thing where somebody who's in that I can't stage can knock off their list, you know?
Right.
So, you know, so speaking about that, what are some of the things that you think people, you know, that gets in the way of people getting their book done?
Yeah, actually getting it done. You know, I mentioned, a good reason or to have a book is to achieve a lifelong dream and something that might be on your bucket list and have that symbol of authority. But if you're a coach and a business owner, you know there's a lot of other benefits to having that book, from using it as a marketing tool, as a way to generate leads when you're on Amazon, as a way to get speaking engagements. I know a lot of coaches want to get out there and do more speaking, and a book can definitely help you get in the door with associations, organizations that are looking for quality speakers, and that's one way they judge, right or wrong. You know, if you have a book, they look at you a little differently, like, okay, then you move up the rung, up the rungs, and you can be a speaker for them. So if there's all these benefits for being an author, well, why isn't it when I go to a networking event that everybody's handing me a copy of their book? I mean, that's really the way it should be. If we can identify all these great reasons to be an author, well, the fact is, as people, as human beings, we sometimes allow ourselves or we get tripped up in some of the details. And I'll tell you, the one thing that I hear most from people, and the reason they don't have a book, is because they don't have the time. You know, they're busy, they have full schedules, and I know how it is. I mean, we are all busy, but they haven't quite made the connection between, you know, scheduling a time or a couple of days or so to get a book done equals all of these other things about authority and expertise and credibility and everything. So they quite haven't made that connection yet, and just been busy with things. And a lot of other people don't know what to write about, and so selecting their topic can be a bit of a problem. And then also just questioning whether they're expert enough to write a book. And I actually want to handle that thinking right now. If you're thinking that, you know, who am I to write a book and who would read anything, you know, written by me, I will tell you that you don't need confidence to write a book. You write a book to gain confidence. You don't need that confidence. You gain it as you're going through the process. There are several times that I talk about the magic that can happen in a weekend, and this is one of the coolest ones, where people start to own their words and own their thoughts and say, oh, I am creating something. I'm doing something. I'm getting my message out there, and that will give you more confidence, and that's just a wonderful thing. So those are some of the things, though, Martin, that you know, people kind of throw up and say that's the reason why they don't have a book done.
Right. You know, I get that. But, you know, just as somebody who's gone through that, no question, while I was writing the book, my confidence level rose. And for me, my journey was pretty understandable. I had decided I wanted to become a life coach, became a life coach, then was trying to decide what kind of coach I wanted to be. And by happenstance, something had happened that made me click on and realize that I should become a divorce recovery coach. And I put together a 7-step system with working with a different coach, and that was great. And then I said, okay, great, now I have my 7-step system, and I have my signature system, and I have my, my elevator speech or my what I tell people when I speak to them so that they know exactly what I do. And I said, and then I was on your call, and I said, what a great way to take my system and put it into place to get my message out there and to be able to stand up in front of an audience and say, in my book, this is what it is, and it's my way of showing people how they can, you know, recover from divorce. It's just an overview of it, but it's a way of them getting to see what they can get from working with me if they wanted to, and it's like the blueprint of how my coaching business works, or my coaching with clients works. And it's just, you know, a few of my clients, you know, my clients now, I tell them, you want to work with me, first thing I tell you to do is read my book. And it's for two reasons. One, for you to get an understanding of who I am, but two, to get an understanding of what the process is going to be like. And most of them come back and tell me, oh, my God, I understand why you wanted me to read the book before we started. And that's such a great feeling. And, again, I have to thank you for that. So, you know, that's fantastic.
Well, if I could piggyback on to that, I mean, so many gems that you're sharing here, Martin. I think, first of all, any coach should read Martin's book, especially if you are looking to develop your own signature system or a way of laying out, because Martin does it in just a wonderful way that the system is there. It explains it, but it doesn't over-explain it. So there's no worry that in your book you'll share so much that the person will never want to contact you, because in your book and others who do this, the right way. You have your system, but there's always individual cases, and people have their own problems. And they might want to talk to the author, you know, like, this is really good stuff, and I want to talk to the author. So I don't think that you should hesitate too much in putting your best stuff in your book. In fact, I recommend that you do it. But it is a wonderful way to lay out your signature system, and then it becomes crystal clear on who you are and what you do and the message you have, another one of those magical things that take part in writing a book. And, yeah, so kudos to you, Martin.
You know,
it's fantastic.
Well, thank you. And to piggyback on that, one of my clients halfway through the book texted me and said, I need to speak to you. I said, did you finish the book? She goes, no, but I need to speak to you. I said, okay, fine. This was before she was a client. She called me up and she said, you know, I feel like you wrote my story. I feel like you went into my soul and wrote my story in this book, in every story that you talk about. And I said, here's the beauty of it. This is to show you that you're not alone. What you're feeling, you're not the only one feeling it, and it's okay to feel these things, and that's part of the healing process. So that really warmed my heart so much to hear that.
If you don't mind if I turn this interview around for just a second, Martin, can I ask you, did you, you know, there might be someone who's listening to this, and they are a little bit leery of sharing some of their story. They might find it embarrassing, or they're worried that people would judge them. I don't. Did you have any of those feelings, or maybe do you remember having any of those feelings before your book was done? You know, in sharing some of yourself in your book.
I definitely did. I definitely had that feeling, and it was with a talk with you during the weekend that got me to open up. And you said to me, "If you want the people to know what you're talking about, they have to know who you are. They have to get to know you, so that they can know you." Like you and trust you.
Right.
And so when I heard that, I was like, oh, okay. So, and as I wrote the book and you helped me get there, you said to me at one point when I put my story together, which was towards the end of the book, oh, your writing has gotten so much better. This has to go at the front of the book, your story. And it was like, wow, thank you so much for that. And so many people have said to me, you know, you really put out, I can really feel your raw feelings, your raw emotions in your book when they tell me, you know, it's a lot, I give you a lot of credit for having the courage to put your raw emotions the way you did. So, yeah, it is hard, but people need to see it so that they can recognize that, you know what, they're not alone, and that the person writing the book, in my case, me, I'm not perfect. I'm not in some kind of gilded cage or, in an ivory tower. And, you know, we all have things that happen in our lives. So, yeah.
Right, and the more you can put that in there, sure, and the more you put that in there, really, the stronger connection you make with the reader, and that's what you, as a coach, I mean, anybody's listening to this as a coach, that's what you're after, is to make that human connection with somebody, so not that so much you impart information to them, which is great. I mean, that is the reason why we read books. But the idea is that you want the reader to understand that you understand them. They're looking for someone who gets them. Right, to make that connection, who gets them and who knows what they're going through. And by sharing your story, that's exactly what you're doing. And that makes such a bond and such a connection that there's no other feeling like it.
Right. Exactly right. I can't agree with you more. The title of the show tonight is Five Secrets to Write a Book in a Weekend. So you say there's five secrets, but before I ask you to share them, I just want to mention to everybody that if you'd like to call in and ask a question, the phone number is 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. Press number 1 to let me know that you'd like to ask a question. Okay, so let's go into these five secrets. What's secret number one?
So secret number one to getting a book done in a weekend is creating what I call a vision and a touchstone, a vision and a touchstone statement. This is actually the first assignment I give my Write a Book in a Weekend registrants, so you're getting a little taste of what they go through. But the reason I came up with this as the first assignment is because Reverend Michael Beckwith has a saying that the pain pushes us until the vision pulls us. The pain pushes us until the vision pulls us, and we know the pain. We know the pain, perhaps, of going through our news feed on Facebook and seeing other people that we know who are new authors and thinking, I'd like to have that for myself. Or we know the pain of not getting that speaking gig because we didn't have a book done, or not being able to get our signature system together because we just don't have our thoughts together. And what I want you to do is instead think of that vision and of what it is that you want and how your life will look when your book is done. And so the question to create the vision statement, I ask a question. I want you to even think about this a little bit for yourself right now. And that is, what does my life look like with my book in it? What am I doing? Who am I talking with? How am I feeling? And I think if you can create that for yourself, it really does help pull you forward into the realm of being an author. You know, as law of attraction followers and coaches, we all know the power of thought and visioning. And this is really the first step. In fact, everybody who is listening to this, you have actually started on your book right now just by asking yourself that question. And the wonderful thing is that even while after this show is over, your mind is going to continue to work on ideas for your book. And this is the first thing I want you to be thinking about is, what does my life look like when my book is done and how do I feel? And that will help you along the way to make that book a reality. It'll be what I call it, that's why I call it a touchstone statement too. Just along the way, it's something to go back to revisit from time to time to help propel you forward in being an author.
Right. I know that when I was writing, you know, getting into your weekend and that came up, I had some difficulty at first, you know, coming up with it. But I developed it, and it took me a while. It took me, I really put some work into it. But it really set the stage for me moving forward with my book writing, because it helped me to connect with, you know, what is the big picture here for me, and what am I looking to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just to tell everybody, being on the other side of it, being one of them that are thinking about it, it's so important. And, you know, when you get into the course with Donna, she gets a little more specific on it. But it's so important because it helps to help you connect with what you're looking to be the big picture goal. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, and
secret
I think
number
too,
one is
develop. I'm sorry. Also, I just want to add that I think it also challenges the part of us that just wants to stay in the status quo.
It is a
stretch. If it wasn't a stretch, you'd have a book done already. But we want to stretch ourselves. We want to think of the bigger picture of things. And the lovely thing is that there is no instant drink mix or something that you just like pour it into a glass. It's like, boom, I'm an author. There is a process along the way where that magic can happen, where that confidence grows, so you can grow into that vision. But I do think it's important to stretch yourself. And then also, for some people, the best part of that vision is signing a copy and giving it to their spouse or giving it to their sister or their kid or having it as Christmas presents or what have you. Even those little things, I think that those are just as important as the big things as speaking from the stage or having your signature system or a thriving coaching practice. I think those personal payoffs also help, and I encourage you to put them in your vision statement as well.
Absolutely, and I know myself, I didn't tell anybody in my family or friends that I was writing a book until I finished it and delivered them a copy, signed copy to them, and they were like, well, what the heck is this? So. It was a nice feeling. But, you know, just to go back on something you said about it being, you know, pushing people out of their comfort zone and it being a little hard, it makes me think of the movie A League of Their Own when Gina Davis is leaving and he says, and Tom Hanks tells her, why are you leaving? She goes, it just got too hard. And he said, it's supposed to be hard. If it was easy, everyone would do it.
That's right. It's the hard that makes it good. It's the heart
right.
that makes it good. I think as we said, oh, Martin, you're a man after my own heart with a baseball reference and everything and one of my favorite movies, League of Their Own. But exactly, that's exactly it. Yep.
Right. Okay, so develop a vision and touchstone, secret number one. Tell us about secret number two.
So secret number two is, again, the question of not sure what to write about. Like I mentioned, that's a problem that a lot of people have. So let's talk about selecting your topic. And the secret to selecting a good topic for your book is to keep things easy. As Martin can attest, easy is one of my favorite words. I'm always looking for ways to make things easy. And that doesn't mean taking just an elementary school view of things, but actually, you know, life is difficult enough with everything that we have pulling at us in our personal lives or in our business. It's like, how can we make this as easy as possible? And the easiest way to pick a topic for your book is to, if you're a coach, there's a number of ways you do it, but if you're a coach, you probably have some kind of intake session where you ask the same questions over and over again, and you expect to receive somewhat similar answers or answers that come back to you in a general way that you could describe, and you can almost expect to know what questions you'll receive in return from your prospect or your new client. Well, this kind of stuff that you know by heart that comes so easy to you, that's great fodder for your book and your book topic. And Martin, I love what you're doing too about, you know, having prospective clients actually read your book. I think it's a fantastic way to go because having this information in your book is something that comes easy to you and it's easy then for you to write. So that's one way you could go about it. Another thing that you could do is if you answer a lot of questions over email, like I did when I first started coaching, and you know, people that write me questions, why should I work with you, or tell me more about this write a book in a weekend thing, or I don't know what to write about, or I can't get my family on board, or whatever it is, I would give a thoughtful response. It's not like I would just rip off a one-line email. I would sit and think about it and email them back with my thoughts and answering their question. So if you're starting out especially, but if you do somewhat the same thing, you have a treasure trove in your email sent file. And that is a great place to go to look for words that you've already written that you can just copy and paste, and that can be the start of content for your book because you gave these thoughtful replies. But if any, I think that a couple of things to think about for topic are a couple of book structures that I recommend. And the first is a how-to book. I think for any business owner, we're all in business to solve people's problems. And if you can give a quick tutorial in how to solve a problem that's specific to your prospects or your clients, I think that's a great thing for a book because it sets up your expertise and it also gives them a taste of the way you go about solving problems, and just gives you that credibility. So a how-to book or a self-help book, something along those lines, I think that's a really good book to write. I would say, Martin, you wrote a type of self-help book, I would say, because it's about recovering from divorce, so you're talking about like an internal thing that you have to go, you're going on. But my second favorite structure of book, or actually sometimes it's my favorite, is a quote, what I call a quote book with meat. And you don't even have to know anything about in your field of expertise, really, to write this kind of book. So that doesn't have to be a worry for you. You could be just starting out and write this kind of book where you just collect quotes that you like, you probably have on your refrigerator or on your desk, and put them in a book. And at one point, I mean, you could just put them all these quotes in a book, put your name on it, put a title on it, and you're done. And I know a lot of very successful 6- and 7-figure entrepreneurs who have done this. But to just even make it a little bit more of you in the book, you do what I call a quote book with meat, where you have the quote at the top of the page, and then you write a little bit about what that quote means to you, just 2 or 3 sentences, kind of interpreting that quote for the reader. And then you give a little action step or an affirmation or a blessing of some sort at the bottom of the page. And you put 100 of these pages together, and you have yourself a really good book. And the reason why I love quote books is because, first of all, everybody loves them. They're the kind of books that we keep on our desks or on our nightstands and refer to again and again, so they're not just collecting dust on a shelf. But most of all, these are the kind of books that inspire. They inspire the reader, And more than anything else, that's what your readers are looking to be. They're looking to be inspired. So when you provide that to them, again, they just look at you like, oh, my gosh, this is so great, the stuff that this person put together, and they admire you for it, and then, you know, contact you and all the rest. So those are a couple of my ways that I have that I think to a secret to solving the topic problem.
Right. You know, it's funny because what I did with my book was I sprinkled in quotes throughout the whole book as a way of connecting what I was talking about in that chapter or in that step is to the quote. So I, you know, all through the book, there's different quotes, and then I talk about the quote a little bit, and then I go into my topic as well. So it's a self-help book, no question, but I took your advice of using the quotes and incorporated it in a little bit of a different way by adding those quotes into my book.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, it's I'm very excited about that. I think that's a great way that I used. And anybody can do whatever they want. They can figure out different ways of mixing the different ways of doing it, and that's exactly what I did. But before we go on, you know, as part of what we do on Life Coach Radio Network is a couple of things. We tell about some of the shows that are coming up, and as a matter of fact, we have something very interesting coming up. So before I do that, I want to just let everybody know about this next few shows that are coming up on Life Coach Radio Network. And on Sunday night at 9 p.m., Mark My Words with Certified Life and Business Coach Mark Schall. And this week it's Emotional and Spiritual Identity Theft. He'll have an interview with Coach Jim Phillips, author of Key to Life, Living in Full Self-Expression. And then on Monday night at 7 p.m., How Resilience Can Help You Achieve Sustainable Success. Have you ever wondered why certain people can achieve so much in life while others can't seem to get their life together? Join Philomena Ayoyo Tesuk, Veronica Taylor, and Connie Rogers as they discuss the characteristics of resilient people. You'll hear why it's important to be resilient and how it can help you achieve sustainable success in life goals. That's Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, New You City Chat, Fall in Love with Yourself with Danielle Mercurio. And if you've ever spent time with the host, Danielle Mercurio, you probably heard her say, self-love isn't selfish, but a necessary part of this, of your survival. And it really is true. And I know Danielle, I've done some shows with her, and she's really a great, great coach and a great host. And one last thing, I want to play a little clip. We'll say it's a word from our sponsors before we go on.
Hi, everyone. This is Russ Terry, the founder, executive producer, and host here on the Life Coach Radio Network. We're having a huge event in New York City that I want to tell you about. It's our first ever workshop weekend. 15 of us will be giving a variety of self-empowerment workshops on Saturday, February 8th and Sunday, February 9th in the heart of the Big Apple. We'll have seminars on stress, spirituality, success, divorce, living your best life, and a lot more. If you're interested, go to lifecoachradionetworks.com/newyearnewyou2014. That's lifecoachradionetworks.com/newyearnewyou2014. We'd love to see you there. And now, back to today's show.
Well, thanks so much for that, Russ, I'm very excited. I actually am one of the speakers on the Life Coach Radio Network weekend, February 8th, February 9th, and I will be talking about 7 steps to recover from divorce without drama to create a new life, basically what my book is about, on Sunday, February 9th at 1 p.m. So please join us. And Donna, I think I have somebody on the line that would like to ask a question. Are you okay with that?
Super duper. Yeah, I love that.
Great. Area code 973. Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Annette Johnson. How are you?
Hi, Annette. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm really enjoying the show. I missed a little bit of the first half, but I'm really enjoying it, and I do have a couple of questions.
Go right into it. Annette is one of the hosts on our radio network, so welcome, Annette.
Thank you. So I am in the process of publishing my first book. I actually, it's in the hands of the editor as we speak, and I'll be getting the manuscript back from her this weekend. But my question is, I've heard that, you know, your title should be no more than 10 words. And I wanted to know if you have any thoughts on you know, if that impacts whether someone would be interested in reading your book if it had too long of a title.
Great question, Annette. So the title, I tried again to make things easy. I wouldn't go as easy as saying, though, a title has to be 10 words or less. Instead, the way I tell my authors to think about it is to have a main title, what I call like a hook of a title, that's up to 4 words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So like Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk or The 4-Hour mm-hmm. Work Week by Tim Ferriss.
Mm-hmm.
And then have a subtitle that explains more. You know, 5 steps to... 10 ways to how you can.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Martin, what's the subtitle of your book?
The name of my book is Recovering from Divorce: 7 Steps to Recover Without Drama to Create a New Life.
See, so exactly. So that subtitle, starting with 7 steps, that explains a little bit more what the book is inside. What's inside the book? I'm looking at another one from another one of my authors, Carolyn White. Think it, say it, be it.
Mm-hmm.
Use your words to change your life. So,
okay.
So Annette, what I would do for you, like, you know, think about your title that way. What's the mini title? You know, the
mm-hmm.
hook of the title, the main title, and then what way can you describe so that title says more to your readers?
Okay. And my next question is, do you? What are the guidelines in terms of how long a self-help book should be? My book right now is at 93 pages.
Okay. So that's a fair amount. I tell people to go for about 100 pages. Mean 93 printed pages or 93 manuscript pages?
93 printed pages.
Printed, okay. So that's about right on. I tell people to go for about 100 pages so you can have your name and the book title on the spine and
mm-hmm.
also just has that physical weight that it feels like a real book. So you seem to
okay.
be on the mark there.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm really enjoying the show. Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks,
question.
Annette, for joining us. I'm going to put you
Thank
on
you.
Mute so that we can continue.
Okay.
If you have any
Thank
questions,
you.
Just let us know. You know, just raise your hand again.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay, Donna, so let's continue with step 3. What was secret number 3?
Secret number 3. Well, Martin, this is something that a lot of people are probably even thinking about right now. And it's like, yeah, Donna, you can say it's as easy as you want to, but write a book in a weekend? Are you kidding me? I just don't see how that is possible. And I understand your skepticism. If it's like, how could I possibly get a book done in a weekend? And secret number 3 is actually the main secret for getting a book done in a weekend, and that is that you are not going to write War and Peace, but you are going to write what I call a short and powerful book. A short and powerful book, or a book that I've termed as being modest in content, yet meaningful in message. Modest in content, yet meaningful message. So it's not loaded with, you know, hundreds of thousands of words, but instead is something where every word is working for you and somebody could read, like, on a short flight. And I'll tell you, this is a real secret, not only to write a book in a weekend, but to write a book that people actually read, because I can't tell you how many business books I have sitting on my shelf, and you probably do too, that are 300, 400 plus pages and are sitting there collecting dust. But something that you can just pick up, read, and in a couple of nights or on a flight or at the beach, and then pass that book on to somebody else or act on what that book I had to share with you, that's really the way to go. And so then the way you get a book done in the weekend is writing, what I call a short and powerful book.
That was huge for me. You know, I was thinking of of books, oh, my God, how am I going to write 150 pages, 200 pages? And you said to me, it's not about the pages. It's about being significant and getting your message across. And it's okay if it's only 100 pages. So mine is, I think, 97 pages. It fits right into that. And it was like a weight off my back when you told me that. It was like a weight lifted right off of me when you said you don't have to write the War and Peace, you know.
Right. And I'm glad because, you know, then it is. And the nice thing, again, too, is people still take you seriously. It's still a real book. And if we have time later, I'll get into even more mistakes that people make and that the reasons why they don't get a book done in a weekend. But I'll tell you right now that one of the biggest mistakes people have is that they just kind of bite off more than they can chew, and then they get overwhelmed with the whole project, and then just weighs them down and nothing happens. But if you can, you know, whittle it down again to one of these short and powerful books, you're definitely on the road to success.
Right, right. So let's go over what we did so far. Number one, secret number one is develop a vision and touchstone. Secret number two is select a structure, like a how-to book, a self-help book, a quote book, or even, like I said, what I did was, you know, mixing a little bit of each. And number three is write a short and powerful book to use as a big business card, right?
Exactly. Yep.
So what's secret number four?
Well, secret number four, what I'm going to do for secret number four is just kind of like fast forward a little bit. So you get your manuscript done, and then looking at different publishing options. And Martin, you and I were talking at the top of the show about self-publishing versus traditional publishing. And I just want to emphasize again what the publishing options are and give you some clarity on them. And basically it comes down to these two options, traditional publishing, which means that you get a contract from what's called a big city publisher or a city publisher, because many of these publishers are based in New York City, so they have that term. And then you write the book, and then they'll distribute it, or they'll help distribute it for you, whereas self-publishing, you do everything on your own. And traditional publishers, there are some pros for sure in being picked up by a traditional publisher. It does give added prestige for your book. If I had, you know, Random House calling and saying, you know, we'd like to publish your book, I'd be all about it. And also, they sometimes give you an advance, somewhat of an advance, and might help you in marketing efforts. And I'm all kind of like loosey-goosey on those two things, because there's been some big problems in the publishing era, in the publishing industry, because the publishers fell behind when it came to e-books, which I'll also be talking about in just a bit. So they fell behind on that, so they don't have a lot of extra capital to spend to give big advances or to help support marketing efforts. But if they can, they might do a little bit. So those are a couple of pros of being picked up by a traditional publisher. Some of the cons, though, is that, first of all, it's like winning the lottery to get a contract. It's pretty tough, again, because they don't have that capital to spend on new authors. Instead, they usually just go with their tried and true ones, you know, your Wayne Dyers, your John Grishams, and authors that are known to have a big following. And secondly, if you do get that contract, well, be prepared to sit back and wait a little while, because it usually takes anywhere from 18 months to 2 years or more before the book actually sees print and is available in stores. And if you're an entrepreneur, And if you're an entrepreneur like I am, I don't have that kind of time. I mean, like, I want it done fast. Fast is my second favorite word. Easy, I'd say, is my favorite word, and fast is my second favorite word. So I want things done a little faster than that. And then the third con of the traditional publisher is many times you submit a manuscript, but by the time it goes through the inner workings of a publishing house between editors and marketing people and all that, they could change it around that you don't even recognize your book when it comes out the other side, because they're concerned about producing something that will sell. And that's fine on one hand, but on the other hand, I've heard a lot of authors say they just, like, lost their voice. They didn't feel like they even own the book anymore or wrote the book because it changed so much from beginning to end. Now, but on the self-publishing side, I mean, there's just a lot of pros in that you control the whole process. So whatever you put in that book stays in that book. You get all the money from sales of that book. You just have to, you know, keep in mind your printing costs. And you can have that book printed and published in, you know, a couple of days. I've had many people during Write a Book in a Weekend upload their completed manuscript to a place like Lulu.com or CreateSpace.com and have their book in hand by Tuesday morning, right, just that fast. And what a feeling of satisfaction that you can get it done and actually have it in hand. So there's a lot of positives to self-publishing, and as we talked about earlier, it's just such a great time to be alive because more and more people are doing it this way, and the books are still very high quality print-wise. They look good, so why not do it that way? Oh, but then here's the coolest thing. The coolest thing is that it used to be that you had to pick. Like when you were thinking about writing a book or manuscript, you had to decide, are you going to go the traditional route or the self-publishing route? And if you picked the self-publishing route, traditional publishers would turn their nose up at you. It's like they didn't want anything to do with you if that book had already been printed in any shape, way, or form. But now, because of the troubles that industry is going through, they are actually, they welcome with open arms people who have self-published their book and built up a platform and an audience, and then you can go and do all that, and then you can go to them and say, look what I did, and then they're more likely to give you that contract. So you can just have the best of all worlds that way.
Right. One of the most famous people who did that is an author named Robert Kiyosaki, who wrote a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and he self-published it, and all of a sudden it took off, and the publishers were like, wait a minute, there's something here. And he's built a huge business around his book, which happens to be one of my favorite books. It really was a fantastic book when I first read it. I still have it on my bookshelf. But, yeah, but you know what? There's a couple of other cons that I think people may not recognize with traditional publishing. For example, unless you wrote the next great American novel or you're some crazy famous person, they're not going to be sending you on these book tours and putting all that money up for you and promoting it. You really got to do the promotion yourself, whether you have a traditional book or you're doing the self-publishing. So, you know, people should know that. It's not so, you know, where they go, oh, here's $100,000. Go around the country and promote your book. You know?
Right. It's not so glamorous, that's for sure. I do know somebody who got the traditional book publishing. I'll never forget. I was in this book. And she had a big launch party in Santa Monica at this real swank hotel, and it was this cocktail hour, and it was this place right on the beach. And all these people were there, hundreds of people were there, and in she comes with a dolly of books behind her, dragging them in, and then taking them out of cardboard boxes and setting them up. And, yeah, she could have hired help to do that. But who knows? It could have been like the books just came there that day, or she didn't have time, or who knows what. And I thought, you call that the life? I mean, it would be. And this is just probably the first of hundreds of these book signings and stuff that she had. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's crazy. I wouldn't want to handle it that way.
Right, right, right. So yeah, I just wanted to put my two cents in about that as well. So now we've gone through 4 out of the 5 secrets. What is secret number 5?
So secret number 5 is about ebooks, and because I always get this question, well, what about ebooks, and should I, or maybe I'll just do an ebook? And I will tell you that I love ebooks. I love my Kindle. I read them all the time. I love special reports that I get from other coaches and things, and what they have to say. And in a way, I mean, an ebook could give you credibility and expertise, but it's not that universal symbol. It's not that, you know, you can't really hold up your Kindle when you're on stage and say, here's my book, trust me, or hold up a CD. All right, you want to actually have your book, and that way you don't have to say a word at all. and people know, they just, again, they look at you a little differently. They give you that honor of being an author because they know it takes work. But that said, after you get that physical book done, I think right on its heels, you should explore having it on Kindle, putting it on Smashwords, having it in the iBookstore, all of that, because the more distribution, the more ways that you give readers to access you and your book, the better.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I know for myself, I printed it, and it's on Amazon, available on Amazon, and right below it, it's available on Amazon in ebook. They have their choice in the Kindle version. All they have to do is decide which one they want. And, you know, of course, the hard copy or the, you know, the paperback is a little more expensive, but, you know, they're getting a printed copy that's going to be mailed to them and so on and so forth. Or they can just download it and have it within seconds. So it's great, and you're able to do that as you go forward, and it's an option. And a lot of that I learned from going through this with you, and I thank you for that. So let's go through all five steps. Develop a vision and a touchstone. Number one, I felt like that was so important for me, and I tell everybody the same thing. When you're getting started, you got to figure out exactly, you know, what's going to happen at the end. So develop a vision and a touchstone. Select a structure. Write a short and powerful book to use as a big business card. Publishing know-how. We talked about the pros and cons of the publishing. And what about ebooks? So, wow, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I really thank you so much. But, you know, as before we go on, do you have any final thoughts for our audience about, you know, you mentioned before there was something that you wanted to touch on if you had some time.
Yeah, good. So I'm glad. If we do have an extra few minutes, I actually want to talk about some of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're thinking of under, is that okay with you if I go over?
Absolutely.
A few of
we
these?
Have about a little less than 10 minutes left, so go for it.
Okay. All right. So, you know, after one of my Write a Book in a Weekend events, sometimes there's a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking going on. People are like, what could I have done differently? And to actually get the book done. And I'm not talking about people like you, Martin. I mean, you really moved powered forward and got. You got the biggest hill taken care of in the roller coaster, and then you just, you know, took a long weekend or a few more days to get it done. But the people that are sitting there on Monday morning realizing that, man, it just didn't work for me, or I didn't work for me, so what happened there? So a couple of things. One is that I would say this happens more often than not about why people don't get a book done in a weekend. And that is that they engage in that sorry activity of perfectionism. And they're writing, and then they'll go and edit the paragraph, and then re-edit the paragraph, and then go and think about the paragraph, and then come back, and it's like, okay, maybe I'll start my second paragraph. And you really don't want to have this attitude. You're not going to get a book done fast and easy or in a weekend if you let perfectionism stand in your way. So a couple ways to think about it is to, first of all, I encourage people to do what I call popcorn draft, something, a fast draft. Just get the words out there. And so James Michener even said that writing is rewriting. And once you have something on the page to work with, it's much easier to go back and massage things and then, you know, make them more into book form. So do that fast draft. Another thing for recovering perfectionists I recommend is that you think of quantity versus quality. That the more words you get out in this fast draft, the more, quote-unquote, perfect you are. So have that approach. And sometimes maybe a part of your mind can embrace that and you'll be okay with it. And then finally, you know, this is something that us as coaches, I think it's an adage that we should all live by, that done is better than perfect. And you can have the most amazing message, but if it's sitting in your head or partially done on your screen, then it's not serving anybody. And there are readers out there who are waiting for you. So get it done and get it out there. Done is better than perfect. Then see what happens. You know, see the magic that happens. Sometimes it can be the most mundane things that you think about that you've put in your book that make the biggest impact. So don't, you know, give a reader the opportunity to see what it is that you have to say.
Oh, I know that's so true to my, in my own book. That the,
yeah.
something that I put in there, they turned to me, and so many people have said that was their aha moment in the book. And I was like, really? You know, so I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's just like a complete surprise, and you never know. You never know. So just get it out there. My second biggest mistake that I see people make is what I tell them to do during the kickoff call on Saturday morning. In case you haven't gotten a picture yet, Write a Book in a Weekend is a virtual event. Okay, you don't have to come to San Diego where I am. You can do it from the comfort of your own home. But what I ask people to do on Saturday morning is give me 90 feet. And this term comes from baseball, which is one of the sports I just love. I love my San Diego Padres. And the idea is that when you're a batter, and no matter if you're the top of the lineup or the bottom of the lineup, if you're the pitcher at the bottom of the lineup, that if you make contact with the ball and you have a feeling it's going to go right to that shortstop and then you're going to be thrown at it first, even if you think that's what's going to happen, you run for first base like there's no tomorrow. Give me 90 feet. Just go for it, because you never know. The shortstop could you know, miss the ball, or his throw could be off and it could go in the stands. Whatever it be, you're further ahead when you just run for that first base as fast as you can. And I think this is really important when you're even thinking about writing a book, or you think it's just like, give it your all, give it your best in the very beginning to give you that momentum to keep going. So give me 90
right.
feet. Don't.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
I know that. You know, I'm a Yankee fan, and every time Derek Jeter hits the ball, and he's now in the league over 15 years, he legs it out. He pushes, because
yep.
he doesn't know what's going to happen. And that's the type of thing you're talking about. Just put your head down and go into it, and you don't know where
go
it's going to take
it.
You.
Right, and you'll respect yourself so much more, and your team members will too, and other people who are watching. And trust me, even like you're going through this book, you might have a book writing coach or somebody is kind of keeping their eye on you. And, you know, give them 90 feet to show the world that you will at least give it a good start and then see what happens. And then the final biggest mistake that I see people make is just not to become engaged in the process, to somehow, like, lose interest along the way or let other things distract them. And it's surprising because it's all I'm asking for is 2 days, you know, over a weekend to give me your attention and be engaged. But it's funny with the different things that will come up or the mind will come up with to stop you from doing something. But if you combat those gremlins and instead stay engaged in the weekend then and in the process of getting your book done, well, of course, that success is going to come to you much, much faster. And, Martin, you were talking about, you know, asking if I had any final thoughts. And I mentioned before about how your mind is already starting to work on this. Like, long after this call is over, you're going to be walking the dog or doing the dishes and the different ideas. Oh, a quote book. Oh, I could have a 5-step book about this. They're going to come to your mind, and what I want you to do is just capture them and then take action on them, because I want you to have a book. This is my greatest longing for people, is that I want you to experience a feeling of what it's like to be published. And in order to trust me, I mean, it is a wonderful feeling to have this idea of something that you did that nobody can take away, something I'll be here long after you're gone. And, you know, whether it's through my program or not, I want you to have that feeling. Trust me. I really want it for you, and I hope you do get it for yourself.
Right, and I from someone who's been there, it's a great feeling. I beamed when I opened up the Lulu.com box and my books were in there, and I was so excited to send one of my first copies to you with my signature in it and send you a picture of me holding up my book. It's such a great, great feeling, and I really have to thank you again. This has been a fantastic hour. I'm so excited that, you know, for my listeners, that they've gotten some great information. But if they want to find out more, how can they find out more about you?
I think that they – I don't know, Martin. What do you think? I think they should email you.
Email me?
And then you can connect. You can connect us if you want.
Okay.
I'll tell you what you could do also. You could email just support at mybigbusinesscard.com. Tell us that you found out about us on Martin's show, and then we'll take care of you and answer your questions and send you some goodies and things like that. But email support at mybigbusinesscard.com and tell us you're a friend
Great.
Of Martin's or a listener of Martin's.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate that, and we love having people mention me. It's great. It shows that people are listening and excited about what we have going on. So thank you for that. And I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, especially you, Donna. It really is so great to have this time with you. And you're one of my mentors. You're my book mentor. And I was very lucky a few weeks ago to spend a day with you masterminding. And we've got some great stuff out of that. So I really thank you for being in my life. Thank you for being on my show. And, until next time, I want to thank everybody for joining us. I'm Martin Salama, your divorce recovery coach, and you can find out more about me by going and my book, which is Recovering from Divorce, 7 Steps to Recover Without Drama to Create a New Life, at www.yourdivorcerecoverycoach.com. And we'll see you soon. Thanks a lot. Thanks again, Donna.